Hello, everybody, and welcome to 2023 Unity Day. My name is Irene, and I am your World Board Chair. So you're very welcome. This meeting is going to be simultaneously translated into Arabic, Farsi, Hebrew, Italian, Portuguese, Russian, and Spanish. So a big thank you to all of our translators today. So in a little while, you're going to see a globe icon on the bottom of your screen. Now, everybody must click on their language, including English. And there is an example there on the screen. Now, can we please have that announcement in Arabic? And in Farsi, please. Okay, I think we had it there in Arabic and in Farsi.
Yes, should I continue?
In Farsi.
Yes, please. Okay. سلام و خوش آمد میگیم به همه. خدمتتون عرض شود که چند لحظه دیگه همونجوری که روی صفحه نمایشتون میبینید یک شکلک کره زمین روی نوار پایین صفحتون به وجود میاد که کانال های ترجمه از اون طریق قابل دسترسی خواهد بود. روی اون آیکون کره زمین میزنید شکلک کره زمین و زبان فارسی رو انتخاب میکنید. مرسی.
Thank you very much. Can we have the announcement in Italian, please?
Buonasera a tutti. Tra un po' vi apparirà un piccolo globo sullo schermo dove potete cliccare e selezionare la lingua in italiano. Grazie.
Grazie, Tino. And Portuguese?
Olá, boa tarde a todos. Sejam todos bem-vindos. Logo, as cabines de interpretação vão ser ligadas, todos, incluindo os que falam inglês, precisarão selecionar o idioma clicando no ícone do globo na parte inferior da tela quando ele aparecer em alguns minutos. Se você quiser ouvir inglês, selecione inglês, mas para quem quiser escutar português, selecione português. Muito obrigado.
Obrigado. Can we have the announcement in Russian, please?
Переводится на много языков, поэтому выберите один из языков перевода, даже если английский, то выбирайте его. All right, thanks.
Can we please have the announcement in Hebrew?
כולם, כולל דוברי האנגלית, צריכו לבחור שפה על ידי לחיצה על סמל הגלובוס בתחתית המסך, כאשר הוא יופיע בעוד מספר דקות. אם אתה דובר אנגלית, אנא בחר אנגלית. אם אתה דובר ערבית, פרסית, עברית, איטלקית, פורטוגזית, רוסית או ספרדית. אנא בחר את השפה שלך על ידי לחיצה על סמל הגלובוס.
Thank you. Can we have it? Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
Can we have it in Spanish, please?
Hola a todos. Bienvenidos al webinario del día de hoy para celebrar el Día de la Unidad Mundial. Esta reunión se está traduciendo simultáneamente al árabe, farsi, hebreo, portugués, ruso y español. Gracias a todos nuestros intérpretes. Todos, incluidos los angloparlantes, deberán seleccionar un idioma haciendo clic en el icono del globo en la parte inferior de la pantalla en la barra de herramientas cuando aparezca en un par de minutos. Muchas gracias.
Gracias.
And Arabic, okay. One more time, please.
Okay. In Arabic, please.
بعد قليل سيحتاج الجميع بما في ذلك المتحدثون باللغة الإنجليزية إلى تحديد لغة من خلال أن نقرأ على أيقونة الكرة الأرضية الموجودة أسفل الشاشة عندما تظهر خلال بضع دقائق. إذا كنت متحدثا باللغة الإنجليزية فيرجى تحديد اللغة الإنجليزية. إذا كنت متحدثا باللغة العربية أو الفارسية أو العبرية أو الإيطالية أو البرتغالية أو الروسية أو الإسبانية فيرجى تحديد لغتك بالنقر فوق رمز الكرة الأرضية. شكرا.
شكرا. So is that all the languages now?
Yeah, I'm going to start the feed now.
Okay, so you should see, there you go, it's popped up on the screen. Now that we can all hear it in our own language, please click the globe in the bottom of your screen that says interpretation and click your language, including English, even though this is mostly in English. You'll need that to be able to hear. Okay, now that that's done, we would like to begin the meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And I've asked one of our newest board members, Veronica, to lead us in the Serenity Prayer. If you're there, Veronica, and you can unmute.
Thank you. God, grant us the serenity to accept the things we cannot change, the courage to change the things we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Thank you.
Tak, Veronica. Okay, so thank you, everyone. So we'll also be closing today's meeting with the Serenity Prayer in about 90 minutes, and we'll be joining members from all over the world in saying the Serenity Prayer. We have a video coming up. It's the latest version of NA's growth, which was recently updated. And you can find it posted at na.org underneath About Us. Okay. I just love that video. That's beautiful. Thank you. And it's amazing to see we have over 72,000 meetings compared to where we came from nearly 70 years ago. So that means that we have, on average, a meeting every 8 seconds. Mm-hmm. And that's exactly the time it takes to say the Serenity Prayer. So once again, that video can be found at na.org about us. So anybody can use that video for your events if you want. So the idea of Unity Day was adopted at the 1992 World Service Conference, and it's been celebrated ever since. So during a World Convention year, which is every 3 years, the Unity Day forms an integral part of the event. And for many of us, it's a really powerful and deeply moving demonstration of our program at work. I remember my first one in Paris in 95, and they phoned into prisons, and I was blown away by that. So at the World Convention in Orlando, we were able to stream the Sunday speaker meeting to thousands of members around the world, including members in prisons and other institutions who were unable to attend outside meetings. And we look forward to doing it again, this time next year at the World Convention in Washington, D.C., which will be WCNA 38. In the non-convention year, it's simpler. We do what we're doing now, but we still have the spirit of our global fellowship coming together, either in person or virtually, to celebrate our new way of life. So to celebrate this year, we have 6 speakers from around the world who are going to share for 12 minutes on their experience, strength, and hope. And then we will have another moment of silence, and then we will pause to join members from all over the world at 12:30 p.m. Pacific to say the Serenity Prayer together. And we have 770 people on this call right now. So welcome everybody as you're coming in. So before we hand the meeting over to today's speakers, we'd just like to share a few updates about what's going on at NA World Service. So the NA meeting search. So after many years of trying to provide current meeting information on our website, we've surrendered to the reality that it's just not possible to keep up with the ever-changing meeting information. As we saw, there's over 70,000 meetings a week, and the information changes more rapidly than ever. So instead, what we'll be doing is provide information about local websites and helplines. So that means anybody seeking information about in-person meetings at na.org will be directed to local phone lines and websites with meeting lists. We'll continue to list information for online meetings when it's provided to us by members. So we think that this system will give more accurate information to members, and we'll be working with local service bodies to ensure that we have the most up-to-date contact information for them. So we hope to implement this new system by the end of this year. So as we all know, much has changed in HNI service over the years. And there has been a lot of interest expressed in revising HNI service material. So currently at na.org survey, we have a survey posted. So we're looking for guidance from all of you, all the HNI trusted servants throughout NA, on possible revisions to HNI basics. As well as HNI, we're looking for members with a wide variety of experience to participate in focus groups. These include revitalizing service committees, virtual services, geographic and physical isolation and recovery, and many others. So we've posted a form. It's a focus group volunteer form, and that's also at na.org/survey. And that provides more details. And we encourage all of you to please take a look. As you can see from the long list of experience needed, we have a lot on our plate this cycle, and we need all of your help. So many of you are familiar with IDTs, or issue discussion topics. And these are topics that are decided at the World Service Conference, which we held in May. And we also had a web meeting in July. And so following this input, we have been hard at work creating material for the first two of four issue discussion topics, which were approved at the World Service Conference. So what issue discussion topics are, they're issues of fellowship-wide importance and that we all need to discuss together and decide together through group conscience. Discussions can help create new resources and also help build unity and critical understanding of important topics. So materials will be posted on
na.org.
Oh, yes.
Please slow down. Much, way too fast.
All right.
Sorry. Thank you.
Thank you. So materials will be posted and are posted on IDTs at na.org/IDT when they become available. So we encourage you to join in the conversation at your local conventions and service events and to share your experience. The first two topics are dealing with disruptive and predatory behavior and gender neutral and inclusive language in NA literature. So they are already posted. We plan to begin drafting material for the remaining two topics, which are reimagining and revitalizing service committees and drug replacement therapy and medically assisted treatment as it relates to NA later on in this year and early in 2024. So as I mentioned earlier, the World Convention will be taking place this time next year from August 29th to the 1st of September, 2024 in Washington, DC. So we plan to make pre-registration available before the end of this calendar year. So please remember, the World Convention is a registration-only event. If you'd like to stay informed of any updates, you can do so by signing up for any of our subscriptions. So that includes NAWS News, the Just for Today, or the Spiritual Principle a Day. And with this, you'll receive NAWS update emails, and you will be notified when the convention will be going on sale. So the link to subscribe to anything is na.org/subscribe. So you will see on your screen now a beautiful product we're offering. It's the special edition of the Spiritual Principle a Day book. And this can be purchased for $35, American dollars, through our web store. And the information is there. And it's item number 1110S. So it's a beautiful book. It's hard-covered, numbered. It's in a slipcase. It's got colored accents and stitched in satin bookmark. So it's very beautiful, and that's available now. Also coming soon, we are proposing the NA Survival Kit. So what that is it's a repackaging of literature we already have. So we plan to take parts of the basic text, It Works How and Why, and the Step Working Guide, where they talk about the steps and put the information on that step together. And they will be in five bundles inside of a slipcase. And we're calling it the NA Survival Kit. So back in 2012, the conference agenda reports gave NA World Services the ability to bundle excerpts from NA literature in this way, as long as we gave 120 days notice. So that notice is up now, and the memo containing all the information, if you're interested, can be found at na.org/FIPT. So there is the site of our first meeting in Sun Valley, California, the 5th of October, 1953. So Unity Day seems like a good day to talk about this. On Thursday, the 5th of October, it will be the 70th anniversary of the first ever recovery meeting hosted by an NA group. And that took place in that building in Sun Valley, California. And there are meetings open there again. So there were planning meetings and some recovery meetings earlier that year in 1953, in July and August. But this is the official one that was hosted by an NA group. So from these beginnings, our fellowship has grown, as you've seen, to over 72,000 meetings a week in 143 countries. So NA World Services is able to provide free services, such as this web meeting, in part because of members' contributions. So recurring contributions are the most sustainable form of income, and they can be set up using that QR code or NA.org give. So if you're choosing to express your gratitude in that way, thank you for considering that. And that is the end of our announcements. Before I hand you over to our speakers, I would just like to remind everybody again to make sure that you have pressed your interpretation feed in your language, including English. And the translators can put that in the chat. All right, so if everybody's ready, without further ado, I am going to hand this over to our first speaker. So please remember to speak slowly, like I didn't, or you'll get called up with the translators. It is being simultaneously translated, and it's easy to forget. And so we will show a reminder on your screen that your time is nearly up if needed. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce Caroline from the UK to share with us.
Thank you, Irene. And I'm absolutely blown away by this. I don't think I've ever been to a Unity Day before. And that beautiful video of the NA's development is wonderful. I find myself saying recently to a lot of people and people who are interested, I don't think there's any other movement apart from the people who started doing this before we did. I don't think there's any other movement that has covered the whole world as quickly as fellowships do. And it's a real privilege to be here today. And I'm really sorry that I feel absolutely wretched. This came on, I have a cold. I'm calling it man flu, which I don't know if people in the US or any other country will identify with that, but it's really knocking me out. But I was thinking earlier that whenever if I'm not feeling okay and I get the opportunity to share my experience, strength and hope, it lifts me emotionally and psychologically, and that inevitably helps the kind of physical healing that needs to take place when I've got a cold. So I'm really happy to be here. I'm hoping that I will feel okay to come back for the Serenity Prayer. But just to kind of qualify a little bit, I come from a pretty good family. So I sort of, I don't necessarily identify with people who are escaping something by using. I identify as somebody who was running too, I understand, my understanding is that the addiction came into this world with me. And the serendipitous event of my having this illness and picking up substances actually really kind of allowed the addiction to take off. And I used for 22 years, during which time, I'm keeping an eye on the time as well, during which time I went through, I mean, it's kind of three phases, really. The first 7 years were me trying all sorts of different drugs, trying to get the right balance, so not quite getting them, and seeking the right balance of drugs that would make me feel absolutely okay. And then the middle 7 years, when I met my what ended up being my drug of choice and then my drug of no choice, I settled down really to a committed long-term relationship with that drug, because it did the job in the first instance, and I loved it. It's all of a sudden the world was okay, and so it did, it worked for me until it didn't. And then the last 6 or 7 years of my using, I was desperately trying to stop, but I had no understanding about addiction. And I was going to all the, you know, trying all these different ways to stop. And it wasn't until about the fourth or fifth time that I went into a detox in South London that I met NA. And I've had the privilege and the pleasure of I actually had worked with her for a while in recovery, of actually thanking the consultant who allowed NA to come into that hospital in the 1980s, so that we who had been there and were there could actually find out about NA and recover. So, and I always say this, it's because I work, part of my work these days is with people who are who are trying to recover from addiction. And sometimes people will say to them, you've got to believe that you can do it. And I'll sneak round afterwards and going, actually, you don't have to believe that you can do it. All you have to do is to want it so badly that you're willing to go to any lengths. And that was my experience. I mean, I love the idea of the gift of desperation, because if I hadn't been desperate, I would never have hooked into NA and what NA has to offer. And it's really interesting that principle of not knowing that I can do it, but doing it. I mean, I did everything that one of the two guys that 12-stepped me, I considered to be completely mad. And he was there a couple of years in recovery when he 12-stepped me. And so I decided that I'd got to do exactly what he did, because I didn't believe I could recover. And I, you know, that sort of, you know, I didn't come to believe and then do it. It was only a year into my abstinence that I realized that I could live without using. So for me, very often, and it served me in lots of different areas of life throughout my recovery, I don't believe I can do it. I want it. I put the effort in. And then when it's done or half done, I look back. So I do before I come to believe. And what I did because of that desperation, I gave it everything that I had. And I think for the first, and I went back because I'd been given this so freely, I signed up for doing hospitals and institution service, mostly because I wanted to give back what had been freely given to me, but in all honesty as well, because I fancied that one of the two guys that had 12-stepped me, and I wanted to hang out with him, which I did, and nothing happened. He was much too honourable to take advantage of that, but it actually, the motive was skewed, but it got me right into the middle of service, meetings, and working a program. And I think working, you know, what I've discovered in my recovery is that I'm not the person whom I thought I was. You know, when I did my first, fourth, and fifth step it really started the process of forgiving myself for what I had done or not done. Later on, when I did the fourth and fifth step again, it went a lot deeper and started the process of my forgiving myself for who I believed I was, those mistaken beliefs that I somehow had had driven me in my using. Beliefs like I was worthless, and I was not wanted, and I was too intrusive. And over the years, I remember over the years, through working the 12-step program and being involved and in varying degrees of intensity, after I realized when I was about, I don't know, about 15 years in recovery, I realized that I no longer had those beliefs about myself. I realized that I had come to respect and value myself. And instead of believing that at the core of my being, I was defective, I realized that at the core of my being, as I see in everyone else as well, it's not defectiveness, it's absolute magnificence and expansiveness. And thank you, lovely. And everything that is heavenly and joyous. And so I think, and just a couple of little sort of, I mean, I didn't, all I did from the age of 21 when I dropped out of university was take drugs, smuggle drugs and sell drugs. And I got into recovery when I was 37. And my life has completely transformed. I have done so, I went to the 1989 Orlando World Convention. I've just been given the opportunity and the capability through the 12-step program to do whatever I want. And I astonish myself sometimes because when I think about who I used to be or who I used to think I was, that was basically not even an addict, a junkie when I came into recovery. And now I have I have great work life. I love work. I love and I've traveled, and I've also been able to do the thing that I feared most throughout all my using and throughout my recovery. I've been able to sit and hold the hands of the people, my family, the people whom I love most in the world when they've left this world, and tell them that it's okay. And that for me, I mean, the resilience that we build in the fellowship, it's phenomenal. And I am so proud to be a member of this gang of people. And thank you. And thank you so much for asking me, Nick. And I'll stop there. Thank you.
Caroline, thank you so much for that beautiful message. And I hope you feel very better very soon, and maybe see you later for the Serenity Prayer. So next we have Mark coming to us from Pennsylvania. Thank you, Mark.
Hello, everyone. I'm an addict named Mark. How amazing is this? You know, I'm just like looking at all the little squares on my screen, and I see just on the one out of like 40 pages of the little squares, you know, Switzerland and Austin, Texas and Israel. And it's just, it's truly amazing. And it's overwhelming. I see the little number of people growing, and, you know, we're up to 980 some people. And then I see that some of the groups are, you know, rooms of people, and my heart is full. So, like I said, my name is Mark and I'm an addict. My clean date is January 12th, 2014. And like I said, I am truly humbled and excited to be here and to have been asked to be part of this. I want to thank everybody that was able to make this possible today, and everybody that you know came to join us. Like they shared, I am from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. I live close to Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania in the United States, but I'm from a small rural town close to the city. And I began my recovery in a pretty small, tight-knit town, a place at times where it felt like we were the only ones, you know, in this journey. The community, with its intimate meetings and shared stories, you know, is pretty much my understanding of what NA was. And, you know, picture me, if you will, like a tree. And for the longest time, like I stood close to that tree and all I could feel was and see was the bark. And that tree to me was, you know, NA in my small town. But when the world changed and the pandemic hit, and, you know, through the uncertainty and the tough times, I was invited to a virtual meeting called Sponsorship Forest. And this meeting was a group of members that made up my larger sponsorship family. And the meeting wasn't just like a regular meeting. It just wasn't another meeting to me. Like it allowed me to take a step back and now see that tree to its entirety, you know, a strong, you know, tall with branches reaching out in every direction. And this experience was, you know, revelation for me. I realized that my town's NA was just, you know, a leaf on this massive tree. And, you know, each leaf, each branch represents a story, a community, and, you know, the greater NA community. From my small town to, you know, the vast global network of what NA is, you know, unity of NA has always been its heartbeat. And this unity, you know, binds us together, ensuring that no addict seeking recovery needs to do it alone. And I believe that, like, for me, you know, in especially during the pandemic, and even after was very crucial. Even my small town, you know, the meetings were closed and, you know, everybody was stuck at home and kind of alone. And, you know, this platform and many other virtual meetings made it possible to continue reaching out. And this unity just isn't our past, you know, it's our future. And as the world becomes more connected, our potential to reach out, you know, to share, to heal becomes even more significant. And for the newcomer, you know, realizing that they're just not joining, you know, a single small group in a small town, but they're actually joining a global, you know, family can be a major beacon of hope. And I think a lot of us come from isolation, especially myself in early recovery and active addiction. And regardless of, you know, the surroundings, if it's, you know, it's a big city or a small town, I think that we all came from, you know, being stuck in the prison between our, you know, between our ears. And, you know, discovering NA and realizing we're not alone was, you know, a huge transformative moment in my life, and I think a lot of our lives. You know, I've got to, you know, travel, you know, since I've been clean, not only, you know, through my country, but, you know, some other countries. Just recently, I got to visit Switzerland, the UK, Germany, and the Netherlands. And, you know, whether it's another state or another country, every time I go to a meeting somewhere else, like I can feel the unity. I can feel, you know, the passion and the love for Narcotics Anonymous. And it's just mind-boggling for me. You know, we are bound by the shared purpose and a shared mission. And I think that every, you know, story shared, every meeting held, whether it's in, you know, a small town like mine, you know, big city, or, you know, a global virtual meeting, it strengthens this unity. It's crucial that we uphold and celebrate this interconnectedness that we have and that we share here. It will guide us. in the future of NA, you know, ensuring that our family grows, our roots run deep, and, you know, these branches, you know, spread far and wide. And I think that's mostly what I have. You know, I want to thank everybody again that put this on today, that let me share today. And if I can leave with any, I think that, you know, let's continue to nurture this unity, you know, cherishing every leaf, you know, every branch, and ensuring that this tree, you know, in my analogy, you know, of NA stands tall for generations to come. I'm an act named Mark, and thank you.
Mark, thank you so much for sharing that experience with us. So now, next we have Tala from Iran will be our next speaker.
Hello, my name is Tala and I'm an addict. Well, I've been clean for the third time for 1 year. And this is a different experience that I'm doing my steps and being clean. I guess, let me share with you this, that I drew my best painting today and I'm really excited about it. I always did drugs to like motivate me to be cooler and be more to fit in and be cooler and just be away from home. And I was abused like verbally or physically, like not so much physically, but verbally most. I was unwanted. So the best place I could fit in was somewhere to party that nobody would care who you are. And they're really disloyal because they're doing drugs, you know, so nobody cares. Like, if you betray me, I betray you, everything is fine. So I kept doing drugs for a long time. You know, I'm behind from education, I'm behind in society. It's really painful. I'm glad that I'm clean because I'm doing better than yesterday, but like there is a pain in me that I'm so behind in life. I never got to finish my education, even though I had many chances in different universities, in different countries. I wasted so much money, you know, and so much time. Like, forget about money. I wasted so much time because I'm an artist. I can do things with my hands and I don't do it. Like, I did drugs to study. I did drugs to make art, but as soon as I did the drug, I forgot about everything. And I started like hanging out or making myself feel worse, not better. I don't know. There is a contrast between feeling like I did drugs to feel better, but I didn't. Most of the time, I didn't feel better. I was really unsuccessful in my love life because I was betrayed. Like, you know, I wasn't loyal myself like so much, but I want to take that credit that I was loyal always in all my relationships. I want to take that credit, but, you know, I wasn't really, and they were not at all. You know, I've been abused so much. So I'm the little person, but I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to fix this problem with NA. I hope the steps help me to be more awake and do good in society. I'm saying, like, I'm doing so much better than I did before. I was so behind. Yeah, that's it. Thank you so much.
Tala, thank you so much for sharing your experience with us. Thank you.
Grazie mille, Tala, per condividere la nostra esperienza. Grazie, Simone Emanuele.
Okay, and next, our next speaker is Shane from Northern California.
Del Nord California.
I'm sorry, you're in English feed. Go ahead, Irene.
Yeah, I think that was the Italian in the English feed. Okay, our next speaker is Shane. Welcome, Shane.
Thank you, Irene. My name is Shane. I'm an addict. What a wonderful thing to get to be with you all today. To my LTC friends, saludos, grüße, mashlomecha, mashlomech, namaste, namaskara. Thank you, NA World Services, for this invitation. Thank you, Caroline and Mark and Tala, who've shared before. It's just a real treat to get to be here today. Happy Unity Day. Happy World Unity Day. To me, that's just the topic, unity. And over the years, unity has come to mean different things for me. I used to think of unity as the local area coming over to our events, and we get to hang out together and celebrate recovery together. And that is a part of it. Showing up at the regional convention and meeting up with friends that I had done service with, and having that joy and comradeship with those people that I had served with. And then, you know, when we see like this kind of an event where we're coming together from around the world, it's just kind of, it broadens that awareness about unity and what it can be for us. But then over time, in doing the steps over and over and over again, in my own experience, I've learned that unity is really about relationships. And yes, in the ways that I've described already, organizationally, we experience relationships, right? So that neighboring areas supporting other areas, other groups in the town or nearby towns, showing up at other people's meetings and experiencing relationships in that way. But what I've learned is that unity is about relationships, and that personally, my disease is really about relationships. I think about when I was using was about numbness because there was pain. And so I chose to isolate, although I may have been among people, I chose to isolate emotionally around other people because I was afraid they would hurt me. And in the recovery process, I've come to learn that more and more my disease has been about relationships, and that the goal of recovery after getting clean, especially the last many years, has been about deepening relationships with other people. And that still continues to be a challenge for me and something that I get to work on all the time. I see where there are deep, meaningful connections with people as unity, and that unity is a sign of the health of my recovery. And then on the other side of it, even at where I am now in my recovery process, sometimes there's disharmony. or disunity. And those are signals that my disease is active. And so it is something that has helped me be able to gauge where I am spiritually, where my spiritual health is, where my emotional health is, in direct relationship to the people around me. I have the experience of looking at the ways that fear of intimacy, fear of trust, and fear of vulnerability are tools that I developed early on, long before I got clean, probably in childhood, to keep myself safe. And so continuing to implement those defects of character long into my recovery unnecessarily kept me feeling a little isolated, even in recovery for a while. And so the steps have helped me identify why I might choose to continue to engage in trying to keep myself safe, and the ways that fear of trust and fear of vulnerability and fear of intimacy have limited my life, even in recovery. And so over the last several years, I have been able to take that into consideration and invite people in a little closer, even like my inner circle of friends, invite them in a little more by being more transparent with them about what's really going on inside me. That has created a deeper sense of connection with other people. And what I've learned over time is that the satisfaction and fulfillment of life is not in all the things, in all the material things that we can gather over time. It's not about the beautiful car I might drive, or the big house I might live in, or the kinds of clothes I might be wearing. The deepest satisfaction in life for me thus far has been intimacy and vulnerability and connection with other people. And so that continues to be the goal as I move forward in my recovery, to deepen and broaden my connections with you and other people in my life. And it's this work, really, we come to find out over time, it takes a little time doing the work, being in the process of recovery, to discover that Narcotics Anonymous is the gateway. It's the gateway to the rest of the world. And so we come here so torn up, so desperate, and thank you for that, Caroline, that desperation. We come here so damaged and harmed. And over time, being able to work through those wounds, we work through the layers of our disease, and we get down to the value of relationships in our lives. Unity, that's what it is. And so, Narcotics Anonymous opened the door for me to go back to school, opened the door for me to actually be involved in a romantic relationship where there is intimacy and trust and vulnerability. I hadn't been involved in a relationship for a really long time, and it wasn't until I got into doing this work in relationships and its connection to my disease and the ways that I've used my disease to try to keep myself safe even after years clean. So after 14 years of not being in a deep, meaningful relationship romantically with somebody, in the midst of this work, that person showed up in my life, and we've been together for 11 and a half years now. So that's just one thing that, you know, kind of highlights the value of continuing to do the work, continuing to allow people in, continuing to look at ways to explore the world, keeping our feet planted in Narcotics Anonymous, but also going out and exploring the world. Narcotics Anonymous is a gateway to everything else that's wonderful and beautiful in our lives. So thank you again for this opportunity for sharing and allowing me to connect on a more deeper, intimate, and vulnerable level with you all. Thanks.
Shane, thank you so much. And lovely, lovely message, and lovely to see you again. So next we have Karen from Brazil, and I believe Tiago will be translating. Welcome, Karen.
Olá, boa tarde.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon, everybody.
Buenas a todos. Me llamo Karen.
And because of NA, I'm in clean and in recovery for 10 years, 11 months, 7 days today. Can you guys hear me?
Yes.
My connection isn't that good and I speak very fast. I spoke with Thiago. Thanks for inviting me. I was very nervous. He told me that I was part of this. Feel very honored to be here. Very happy. Very happy to be here with you guys today. And to get the chance to share a little bit about my experience. I was a little bit scared about the topic. What could I say? What could I add to everything that was already mentioned? I was actually quite nervous because of the dimension of people that are here, the dimension of Narcotics Anonymous. It's still unimaginable for me. It's too big. This fellowship is huge in all senses, spiritually, physically. The movement that we do and that is done all the time for the message to be carried. So more addicts can hear this message. So addicts and people that have problem with drugs, that they can get the message in their own language, in their own culture. My story is not different. It's very interesting to notice how we share the same pain, the same things that make us anxious, maybe some commas. But it was also desperation that brought me here. Having no hope, being unable to believe, the difficulty to relate to anybody that was also mentioned, all these things led me to continue searching for death, because the fact is that I didn't want to live. In the last moments.
Thiago, I'm sorry for interrupting. I'm sorry. Excuse me just for a moment. The people who are not hearing this. Just one moment, please. Please make sure
you are in
the English language feed from the globe icon on your toolbar.
Ah, sim.
Go ahead.
Pode continuar. Go ahead.
Ah, tá bom. Nesse ritmo tá bom, então. Então é questão da linguagem.
Yeah, so my rhythm is okay. It was just about technical issues. So it was desperation that brought me to NA. And I arrived in NA through a member, through a trusted servant. He found me in another fellowship. And he told me, hey, your place is NA. He gave me a group list, a meeting list that we use a lot here in my region. And he told me, go to that meeting. And I went. And the first day I was there, I said, wow, these people are so simple. I've tried so many complex things to get clean and it hasn't worked, but this was so simple. Will this work? But I believed it. I believed in you guys, the people that were there, different than anything I've ever experienced before. I was welcomed. People hugged me. I was welcomed, really well welcomed. And no one even knew me. So I kept coming back, and this reception and this member that actually found me elsewhere motivated me in terms of how can I organize myself to be able to get to a group, to be able to, who does the coffee, who organizes the chairs, what happens besides of just going to a meeting and sitting in a chair? Is there anything that happens? I mean, how does the organization actually works to welcome these people? So I really got interested in what was behind making the meeting possible. And I started feeling hopeful because I started really getting involved. And with that, I stopped thinking about drugs. And with that came hope. And everything started to happen for me. It became very clear that that obsession that I was feeling, that dark cloud, that desperate feeling, the moment of total pain, I was able to start looking at myself. And talking about unity, it's really interesting to say that me, a person that was using drugs and active addiction, egocentric, getting involved in a process where I was thinking of someone else, how is the newcomer going to come in? How can I organize the actual meeting? How are we going to carry the message? Where is the message actually needed? In jails? Is it helplines? How does everything actually happen? I started to leave this place of self-centeredness and started to think about people that I had never met. I started to relate to people that actually didn't even think like me. And that was before impossible. Usually it was people just with the same interests. And now I was with people that were different, but with the same mission, people that I didn't even know, but who had also suffered in the same manner that I had suffered. And all these principles started to deeply touch me. And a person that was completely egocentric, to be able to have empathy, to be able to think about someone else, how powerful the service efforts can be, all these principles that a lot of times we read, mentalize, reading the steps, I started to actually try to internalize these principles and sometimes even intuitively practicing the steps without even noticing as I keep coming back and involving with the service process in NA. And that's fantastic to be able to see the growth of NA, everything that people did and are doing for the message to be able to be carried, not only to me, to everybody, to have conditions to live, to be free, which is what I really think is important to me today, to be able to feel free and have the power of choice. You know, I'm not limited anymore inside that place of drug use, abusing and being abused. Now there's a perspective of growth and how this growth can affect other people positively. And currently today, I'm very happy to be able to share this with you guys. I'm part of a service structure that thinks like this, that teaches me all the time. It's a service structure that we go long ways with this, with this thought of unity, thinking, okay, yes, we do have a virtual group, but in a specific place, they don't have a meeting, they don't have a virtual group, and there isn't enough effort that we can do to be able to carry the message. We always have to do more. The more we do, the more I do, it all comes back to me. So having these thoughts, or this specific thought, is what Narcotics Anonymous has given me, to be able to think outside myself so that the other addict can also experience what I'm experiencing. The emotion I feel right now to see the number of people that are here thinking about, you know, staying clean, thinking about people who have drug issues and that maybe haven't found a way yet, haven't found recovery like we have. Because people die using. I almost died using. I know of the pain. So what I have that is most precious in my life is my recovery, is the possibility to share this with people. And I'm not going to say anything outside NA because you guys gave me everything. And that's it's the possibility to be able to keep believing in myself and people around me. And I'm able to do everything that is considered normal for people, which for me wasn't normal anymore. All I knew how to do was use drugs. It's important for me. Now I can relate to people and live in society. Knowing where my place is, what my place is, knowing about my disease, knowing until what my limits are. But most importantly is staying involved with you guys, is, you know, carrying the message, observe myself, analyze myself, how I can get better in my recovery, how I can share in a more efficient and effective way. What are the efforts that my region needs to get better at for carrying the message? Next week, we're going to travel. We'll be gone for 1 week. We're going to go to a Native Indian place here where our health ministry in that specific place got to know about Narcotics Anonymous, contacted us and invited us asking for help because there's a Native Indian community that they're dying because of addiction using drugs. And they invited us to go there to carry the message. So these are the things that make me believe that I can make a difference, that I can be a better person, that there is no more possibility of using. That's what the program gives to me, to be a better person, to share my experience, strength, and hope given to me through NA. And continues to offer me on a daily basis this possibility to live freely, free from active addiction. I don't know if my time has ended. I know I speak very fast, but I want to thank all you guys. Thank you for your ears, for your invitation, all the work and the service that you guys put in for this beautiful meeting. Again, all the surface efforts that have been done and that are being done around the world so the message can get to the addict that still suffer. More than 72,000 meetings is a lot. Thank you. Thank you, everybody. And tamo junto. Happy Unity Day.
Karen, thank you so much. That was a very beautiful message. Thank you. And thank you, Tiago, for translating for us. And we are coming up to our one of our special people who are celebrating a birthday. So we have Shane, who we happen to know celebrated 34 years clean yesterday. Shane from Rhode Island. Sorry, Sean. I'm Irish. I should know Sean. So maybe give all applause to Sean from Rhode Island on his 34 years. And he's our next speaker.
I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. My name is Sean G. I'm here today by God's grace and God's mercy, and I'm clean before the grace of God in the program of fellowship.
Sean, please, can you slow down, sir?
I want to congratulate all addicts staying clean. Okay, I'm sorry. I'll slow down. I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction, and my name is Sean G. I'm here by God's grace and God's mercy, and I'm clean before the grace of God in the program and fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to congratulate all addicts staying clean. And if you've got one day clean and you're please, here sir, with us today.
You need to slow down, please, sir. I ask you kindly to please slow down.
Okay. I'm just super excited and enthusiastic, and I'll do my best. Whew. I want to congratulate all addicts staying clean. And if you've got one day clean and you're in this meeting with us today, you've came way too far to go back out and use. Let us love on you. Welcome to the program of Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I want to congratulate World Unity Day again for putting this on and giving everybody the opportunity to see how UNITY works worldwide. You know, I want to read something out of our first tradition. It says, unity is the spirit that joins members around the world in a spiritual fellowship that has the power to change lives. We're here in a spirit of unity today. And I just want to let you know that I knew nothing about unity prior to coming to Narcotics Anonymous. It is true. Yesterday, I was blessed to be able to wake up with 34 years clean. I got clean when I was 22 years old, and I'm 56 years old today. And I'm a satisfied customer of the program and fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I got here, I wanted to die, and I didn't know how to stop wanting to die. I was so tired of me. Probably the most painful aspect of my addiction is when I think about what my addiction did to my family. They didn't deserve what they were getting. But I didn't know the harm that I caused because suffering from raging self-obsession, I told myself that I'm not hurting anybody but me. And if I want to hurt me, it's okay because I'm not hurting anybody else but me. I know that that was a lie. I had no idea that there were addicts around the world. That took a moment of silence for an addict like me and an addict like you to come out of the darkest nightmare of active addiction and be placed into the marvelous dream of recovery through the program of Narcotics Anonymous. I had no clue that I had no clue. I would get paid on Friday afternoon and I would be broke on Friday night. Going over to the dirty pile of clothes, looking for the cleanest pair of jeans. I had a PhD in dereliction and degradation. And I was the chairperson for the Finding Ways and Means subcommittee until I came to Narcotics Anonymous. And I learned about unity. That meant to come together. Despite what differences that we may have with one another, that we put aside our differences and think about the common welfare of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, to make someone feel welcome at any and all costs, regardless of age. At my first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, I was with my first sponsor and a guy came up to me and he said, I've never seen you here before. Look kind of young. How old are you? This was in 1989, y'all. That's my clean date, September 1st, 1989. And I said, I'm 22. And he said, ain't you kind of young to get clean? And my sponsor and another addict came together and looked the individual in the eye and said, how old does he got to be to die? Regardless of age, race, sexual identity, creed, religion, or lack of religion, anyone may join us. If you're here today, you're anyone. No one can do everything, but everyone can do something. We can come together to make Narcotics Anonymous a bigger and better place than what it is. And it's tremendous, the growth that we've experienced since I've come here and since before here. I thank all of the people who pressed on to see that we could be here today. I come to realize that when I walk into a Narcotics Anonymous meeting, physically or virtually, that I'm stepping on the backs and bones and blood of addicts who made tremendous sacrifices to see that we could be here today with one another. Love is our greatest principle. I believe that. I believe that. Because I was loved on when I got here. I could not understand how you can love me being who I was And then I found out you was who I was and that I could become something different. If I wanted to do something different, I had to do things differently. So I started to pay attention. I started to show up. I started to make meetings, not excuses. I got a sponsor. I started doing step work. I started reading our literature. I got involved. Recovery is not a spectator sport. I got involved in H&I. I love H&I. Thank you for the new literature that we have out. I love it. I just want to say that I've been to the World Service Office 3 times. I remember the very first time I went to the World Service Office, a group in the greater Los Angeles area invited me to be their speaker for their men's breakfast. And before I came, they said, tell us what you want to do when you get here. And I'm not going to violate traditions. I understand our Sikh tradition. There's a particular burger that I wanted to eat that we don't have here on the East Coast. I said, I want to go there. And I said, I want to go to the World Service Office. Please, can you take me to the World Service Office? I got my first basic text at my very first Narcotics Anonymous meeting, that meeting where that guy said to me, ain't you kind of young to get clean? I won my first basic text with my only dollar in my pocket. These are tears of gratitude and joy, because I cannot believe that I'm standing carrying a message on World Unity Day in the same kitchen that I was found unresponsive on, where I flatlined for a minute and 43 seconds. And now here I am, 34 years and 1 day later, carrying a message on World Unity Day. Because of the moment of silence that addicts came together and had, because of the coffee maker, because of the GSR, because of the regional delegate, because of the public information subcommittee, the policy subcommittee. I went to the World Service Office and I sat with Freddie Aquino. Rest in peace, Freddie. And he told me about his experiences with H&I, and I was already involved. And it made me want to stay involved. What a tremendous guy. I thank all the people who work at the WSO and for all the people who do service. And I express my gratitude by being of service to Narcotics Anonymous through H&I, through having a position in a virtual platform, by being involved in a group, through sponsorship, by letting people know who are looking for a meeting and it's too late for them to get to a meeting. Here's a meeting right here that meets at this time. They meet 7 days a week. You won't be without a meeting. It's okay. We must freely give back what was freely given to us. We're talking about us coming together. For the people who aren't a fan of virtual meetings, when someone comes into a physical meeting, and you say that you haven't seen them before, how can they have 2 or 3 years clean? And they say, well, I got clean on the screen. Can you treat them equally as somebody who got clean in a physical meeting? Because I've experienced other addicts tell me that they haven't felt as welcome in physical meetings once they divulge that they attend virtual meetings and that's how they got clean. And we're talking about the spirit of unity and the spirit of love. We're able to be here virtually right now because of the virtual platform. We come together today. Is what we have to do or say bringing groups into separate camps, or is it bringing groups together? Anything that creates disunity, I choose not to be a part of, no matter what it is. You know, I believe in being welcoming because that's how I was. I was welcomed. And I was 335 pounds, and I took up 2 seats in a meeting. And a guy came up to me at that first meeting and said, hey, I know I haven't seen you here before. Would you like a coffee? I said, sir, I'm sorry. I don't have money to buy a coffee. I just got $1, and I'm told I got to put it in the basket. He said, no, sir. Young man, you've already paid for that coffee. Your pain is the down payment on your freedom. Your suffering is paid for the coffee. I said, milk and 2 sugars. and he came over with the coffee and had a couple of cookies wrapped in a napkin. Even though I was probably the heaviest guy in the meeting, he still gave me cookies. My disease tried to disqualify me. But my sponsor put his hand on my leg and said, Sean, this is what we do in Narcotics Anonymous. We all belong, regardless of. And I'm grateful to be alive, and I'm grateful to be clean. And I'm sharing right now with COVID-19. I got COVID. I tested positive on Thursday, but I positively was not going to allow this to keep me from being of service to you and to the ultimate authority, a loving God. I call my higher power God, G-O-D, grow or die, G-O-D, the great outdoors, G-O-D, good old dependability, G-O-D, get off drugs. It's what works for me. All I know is that there's an ultimate authority and that I'm nothing without the ultimate authority. Without the ultimate weapon, I'm just another ultimate weakling. So I just want to say that I'm grateful to be alive. I'm grateful to be here with 34 years and one day clean. Who would have ever thought? I just want to say this real quick. My dad was such a tremendous fan for Narcotics Anonymous. He was so grateful. One day I wanted to use, and I couldn't get a ride to a meeting. To my second meeting. No one was answering the phone with the phone numbers that I got at my first meeting. And I told my dad I couldn't get a ride. I wanted to use it. He said, come on, son, get in the car. I'll take you to the meeting. Where it's at? Where is it? And we went to the meeting. And I wasn't getting called on. And I put my hand down and the guy came from the back of the room. I'm talking about the spirit of unity. I didn't know anybody there. He came from the back of the room and he leaned over and he said, hey man, keep that hand up. I don't think that he saw yours. And he went behind me when I raised my hand. He went, newcomer, newcomer, newcomer. And I raised my hand and said I wanted to use and I didn't know what to do. You guys told me if it felt like using the go tell on myself. And I did. And addicts corralled around me and gave me four more phone numbers and hugs. And my dad was so happy. I was able to bury my dad and my mom clean. Yes. And the members of Narcotics Anonymous showed up in droves. Narcotics Anonymous members carried my dad's casket. My dad said, get in the car, son. I want to go to the speaker jam. I put the wheelchair in the car. I'm so happy. Into tears of joy and gratitude. And people called my dad Mr. G. Hey, Mr. G. I buried my dad on July 1st, 2019. I miss him every single day. I went to a meeting in Iran. I was invited to share my experience with and hope in Iran. And I shared about how much my dad meant to me and how much Narcotics Anonymous meant to my dad. And when I was done sharing, the chairperson of the meeting said, hold on, Sean. We just took a group conscience. Our group has decided and voted to have a moment of silence in honor of your father. Where else does that happen? But Narcotics Anonymous. Whew. My dad had a stroke and he had cancer. And the greatest service position that I've ever held is caring for my dad, changing his diapers. You taught me about service. It says in the works how and why the service is for those we serve. I was able to take what I learned about compassion and empathy and patience and tolerance and love and bring it to my dad as I changed his diapers and gave him a shower and cooked his food and gave him his meds and took him to his appointments in the wheelchair and climb in the bed with him and pray and thank God, get out of drama for a good day. I owe that to you, Narcotics Anonymous. I owe my allegiance to the program and fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. I'm a firm believer, like it says in the basic text, NA can survive without us, but we cannot survive without NA. I believe that. So in closing, thank you, NA World Services, for inviting me. Thank you so much. I recognize the 60 seconds. Thank you so much for inviting me. I would have never, ever thought that I would get asked to do anything for NA World Services. I love it. I love it. I try to go every time that I can. You know, I don't want to start shouting out people that I know that work in the office, but I'm grateful for everyone who made a contribution to NA World Services. And I'm grateful that motion for pass at the World Service Conference in support of virtual meetings. Very grateful. And the last thing I want to say is this. I'd rather be sitting in a Narcotics Anonymous meeting thinking about getting high than sitting in a dope house thinking about getting clean. I'm an addict recovering from the disease of addiction. Peace, unity, and love worldwide to all of our NA members and for all the trusted servants worldwide. Love and respect. I'm an addict named Sean G. Peace and love. I love you. God bless.
Sean, thank you very much. And once again, happy anniversary from all of us. And we have 1,000 people on this call now, and that's the maximum. So if you know anybody who was trying to get in, our apologies. We'll have to look into that because it looks like we're growing. So I'd just like to thank, we're winding down now, coming very close to the time where we'll be doing the Serenity Prayer together. I just want to thank all of our speakers, Caroline, Mark, Tala, Shane, Karen, and Sean, and all of the translators. I'm sorry, I'm afraid to miss somebody, so I won't call you out individually. We have a lot of translators on today, but thank you very much for the translation service. And and to the staff at NA World Services who are working on a Saturday, making this available to all of us. So thank you very much to our wonderful staff. And so we're coming up to 12:30. We have one more minute in California. And the moment has come for us to join together to mark Unity Day 2023. At the first Unity Day in 1992, there were under 20,000 NA meetings in the world, and the basic text was in four languages. Today, we have over 72,000 meetings, and we have a basic text in 39 languages. With each year, we move closer to our vision of a worldwide fellowship, unified, that can be found by any addict anywhere. And it's been an honor and a privilege for me to chair this meeting today. And I would like you to all unmute your microphones and join me in the Serenity Prayer.
Stop.
I love you.